As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to another episode of the VanCast, and this one feels like a post-game show because we're talking about all of this after what was a very uninspiring performance against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Vancouver loses 4-1. Drancer, you and
feels
I
like
went
a post-mortem.
Oh my goodness, because it feels like what's about to happen is almost inevitable right now, doesn't it?
I mean, is it? Like, I don't know what's about to happen. All I know is that everyone's waiting on something, and it feels like, you know, there's a term for this, a catch-all term for this within the industry, and it's called bad shit. And like, we're in a bad shit point in the Canucks season. Like, it's so dispiriting, right? It feels, it's hard to watch on the from the outside. Like, I was watching Morning Skate today, Farhan, and I never say this before a game. And so, you know, if you want to say post-hoc analysis, like, you know, go ahead. But I was watching the game, the Morning Skate today, and I looked back at Batch, and I was like, this team even sucks at morning skate. Like, you know, and it's like, they don't, you know, like there's talent here. It's not that they're actually this bad. It's just that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy when the noise turns up around the organization and trade rumors get into the room and, you know, everyone is beginning to feel the heat and wondering where the accountability will fall. And we know that something's coming. We know that changes will be made. It's just that they're not here yet, and the organization doesn't seem to want to rush things. And while you can say that's a positive, like, you don't have to have the answer. You don't have to have the answer to begin to address this. Like, it's okay to make a decision to drop the guillotine so that everyone stops waiting and, like, have an interim situation and launch a search and take your time. Like, it's fine. You don't need to have the answer. But for whatever reason, it just feels like this organization's stuck. You know, the analogy I'd almost use is like Wile E. Coyote when he's gone off a cliff and then he looks at the camera, right? And then he holds up the sign and then his body falls and then his eyes fall. It's like, we know that Wile E. Coyote has fallen off a cliff, but he doesn't know that yet. And we're just like waiting for him to notice so the sequence that we're expecting can begin. And it's just like, it's gone on for too long. It's like, get to it. Get to it at some point. Get to it. Because this sucks. And it just feels like everyone needs a breath of fresh air. Like, everyone just needs some relief.
It sucks on so many levels. And, you know, I was surprised because I asked Bo Horvat about this after the game. And I said, look, do you guys worry that at some point, based on your performances, somebody's going to be made to pay the price, meaning Jim or Travis? And, you know, he didn't answer in the affirmative or supportive or any of that. He just said, it's nothing I can control. Well, I got news for you, Bo. You absolutely can control it. Your performances control it. collectively, your performances control it, and your performances are going to lead this to happen. And, you know, you said before the morning skate, well, these are actually some good players here, but it's so dispiriting. Their energy is nowhere. And my point when I spoke to Travis after the game, when there's this much noise around an organization and there's this much chaos being felt, and don't just say that everything's hunky-dory, because it's not, right? I mean, everybody knows they suck. Everybody knows what the record is. Everybody knows that they're not playing well. So when all of that is around you, at some point you need to show some level of urgency, because you know heads are about to roll. And so when I framed it to Travis, not from the perspective the way I asked it earlier, where I said, look, are you worried about your job? Now I just said, do you think the players understand where this whole situation is at? And he just didn't want to really acknowledge it. But the fact that they have to know where they're at, and yet they show up and turn in that kind of first period. That first period was horrific. 16-9, they got outshot, and that was generous to the visiting team. They took three penalties in that period, gave up power plays, and then finally at the start of the second period, the first goal goes in. But for a team that should, you know, have that much to play for, how could you be that bad?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, and I look at those goals. Like, think about the first goal. The first goal, Sidney Crosby enters easily on the power penalty kill, like the Canucks are on the penalty kill, and dumps it off to Brian Rust. And Pullman kind of loses Rust, and Myers comes over and cheats to help. And Pittsburgh recovers the puck, and it goes up high to Letang at the left point because he's on his one-timer side. And Pearson goes up to check Letang. And at this point in the sequence, and I'm not kidding you, Farhan, Sidney fucking Crosby, the best player of his generation, alone at the net front. No one within four stick lengths of him. No one. Not a single Canucks defender down low. And to top it all off, he's not even the only guy down low. There's two Penguins in an overload situation, and Letango's D to D, and Lamico comes up high, and there is no one within three stick lengths of the best player of his generation. And yeah, guess what? A goal was scored 5 seconds later. No kidding. No kidding.
I'll double down. The exact same moment happened on the first Penguins power play in the first period.
I know.
Where Crosby was left open, was left that much in clear. Demko makes a great save, and then you get another Pearson stick break moment, right? But they were lucky it didn't happen then, but that's the problem, is it didn't just happen on the goal.
No, and it happened another time where faceoff win shorthanded, puck goes back, Tyler Myers steps around Tucker Pullman. He's got time and space to clear, like a lot of time and space. And he hits JT Miller in the back with his clearing attempt. And then both him and Tucker Pullman rush the mid-slot forward. And then, completely uncovered scoring chance at the net front from the Penguins. And it's just like, this is bantam quality defense. Like,
my son plays bantam. Don't go there.
Yeah, and he has a tougher time finding guys open at the net front. You know, like, I don't mean to be a jerk. Like, I can't play at a bantam level. Your son's way better than me. I can't skate backwards. Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I'm not like a systems guy. I'm not a coach. I'm certainly not a player of any merit. But like, yikes, man, yikes! The Tucker Pullman giveaway on the third goal. Hughes had a bit of a mess of a game. And when Hughes is off, like, I just think about all those Myers and Pullman plays that are just so soft, that just kill possession. You know, Ekman-Larsson wasn't on either, but like the other guys, oh man. And then, you know, Luke Shen,
who gave the puck away on the second goal? Was it the pass across to nobody? Was that Pettersson?
That was Pettersson with the giveaway. Yeah. And then, compounded by a bunch of errors from a lot of other players, including Hughes and Myers. And then, but I mean, you know, I'm thinking about all these possessions where it's like, even the things the Canucks did well, and then it ends up on the stick of Luke Shen for a 60-foot shot. And it's like, that counts on the scoreboard as a shot, which is why the shot clock looks like it was close. But that's not a shot. It's a giveaway. It's a giveaway. Like, there's no chance that anything's happening there. This blue line can't connect play. They're completely exposed against any team with speed. We saw it again tonight. Travis Green called it out again tonight. And, you know, I just feel bad for these guys. Like, you know, I feel the need to reflect the mood of the fan base. And I'm the only reporter there in person, right, who's not a play-by-play guy that travels with the team, who's in a very different type of job, right? And I think Batch does a good job of balancing and asking the occasional tough question considering his role. But, you know, he's not there to do the interrogation, right? And so, you know, I'm asking these sort of like short, like, what can you do? How do you fix it? Are you guys working hard enough? Is everyone bought in? I'm just sort of going with the short, quippy questions. Because what else are we going to do? And I just feel bad. Like, I feel bad for Bo and I feel bad for JT Miller constantly trotted out into this spot, you know, like constantly forced to do this song and dance. And, you know, Bo, like, I wish I had answers for you guys. I thought that quote spoke volumes. I thought JT Miller's non-answer to the question, is everyone bought in, spoke volumes. And, you know, I mean, I don't know, like, there's no solutions. There's no solutions. There's no answers. It's just kind of a mess.
They've regressed, right? So, you know, one of the things I asked Travis was that, yeah, defensively, your structure was somewhat better, even though their personnel is limited, right? But the train wreck chances we saw minute after minute last year with no fan hockey, it hasn't been like that. You know, the bigger problem is that, yeah, we know their blue line has issues, but they haven't been as exposed. It's been more a case of the penalty kill, and then specifically, their best players aren't scoring, right? But now, right, when you see the turnovers and when you see just the level of carelessness that this team is playing with and the lack of connectedness that this team is playing with, it now looks like last year, compounded with the fact they can't score. So they're actually taking steps backwards because there's just nothing there. There's nothing there.
Yeah, they're actually less successful than they were last year when they were dead last in the All-Canadian division.
Yeah, 15 points right now through 20 games, which is one less than they were a year ago. And they look every bit of it. I mean, you go through this game, shots were 16-9 after the first period, 20-10 about midway or 5 minutes into the second. And then all of a sudden, the Canucks had like a 33-3 edge and it tied the shot total. But when the Penguins had that level of run, it was high danger scoring chances. When the Canucks had theoretically that level of run and outshot the Penguins by 10, it was all kind of meh. You know, there really wasn't a lot generated. It was just that it wasn't all coming against them in wave after wave. It just looked like a lot of neutral zone play.
No, I know. It was a lot of neutral zone play. I mean, the Canucks didn't have a lot of dangerous chances. They didn't have a lot of five alarm chances. And then Horvat does what Horvat always does, which is, you know, he's going to get a chance with the 5 minutes remaining in a game in which they're trailing. But it just doesn't even matter, right?
And well, in Bo post game, you know, he said it's unacceptable. I got news for you, Bo. When you say it's unacceptable that often, it's become acceptable. Like when the first time he said it, we're like, okay, Bo's calling out his team. And that's a strong statement saying, this is unacceptable. This is going to stop. I'm going to see to it. Like that was the implication. Now it's every game. That's unacceptable.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's a good point. And I mean, you know, that's out of our control too, as a comment for like, hey, someone's going to maybe pay the price for this. Like, do you feel, you know, like contrast that with Hughes running his hands through his head, his hair, right? And being like, yeah, I take that personally. You know, and that's Hughes, who's extremely calm, like extremely chill. Yeah, I mean, the vibes are brutal, brutal off this team right now. Like the body language on the bench is so dispirited. It's not fun to watch them play. I mean, it's not fun to be a Vancouver Canuck right now. It's not fun to be a Vancouver Canucks fan right now. It's not even fun to talk about the team. You know, like it's just kind of miserable as we wait. And again, wait for this guillotine to fall. Wait for Wile E. Coyote to finally succumb to Looney Tunes physics. You know, like Looney Tunes physics. That's what we're waiting on.
Well, it's Looney Tunes. The reality is that when they, you know, when you have performances where you lose 5-4 and you've given up three power play goals, but 5-on-5, you've done great things. And not that it's a, you know me, I'm not a moral victory guy, but you can at least point to something and say, all is not lost here. We need to fix this little element. Well, right now, it looks like all is lost because the PK, they gave up one goal on it and it hasn't looked as awful as it did earlier. I shouldn't say that because you had the Sidney Crosby moments times three. But nonetheless, like that is not what cost them this game. It's when you lose this type of game. It's when you lose the type of game on the three-game road trip in Colorado and Vegas and so on, and Anaheim. And when you lose that type of game, those are the coach firing games, right? And it's hard, right? Because you asked the, I think it was IMAC that asked the question that have you basically done everything you can do here? And, you know, we kind of got a non-answer, but I think the answer is yes, isn't it? Like, I don't know that there's anything else Travis Green can do with this particular group of players in the emotional state they're currently in. Because I'm not saying they've tuned him out. They've just checked out.
Travis Green could definitely help this group if he was two right-handed top four quality defensemen. That would be a way to help. But yeah, I mean, short of that, no. And I mean, you know, I don't know that it's going to be salvageable for Green behind this bench long term at this point. And that says nothing of what I think of his culpability in this or the fact that, you know, I think he's going to have success elsewhere as he resumes his NHL coaching career whenever the dust settles in Vancouver. But I mean, feels like everyone knows, players, coaches, management, know that this situation is untenable, except the people who actually write the checks and call the shots. Like, that's sort of where it feels like we're at. And that sucks. And that especially sucks with, you know, on the eve of American Thanksgiving. You know, like, what? I mean, we've got 62 more games to cover, Farhan. We've got 62 more games. This is going to be a long season.
Meaningful games in January, my friend.
We might not get meaningful games in December.
Yeah, you know, I used to go through this cycle with every year of covering the Canucks where, you know, you'd cover them. It would struggle. They would struggle at the start. And then I would go off on football coverage and I would go, you know, do three rounds of CFL playoffs, do a bunch of NFL stuff, NCAA football. And then I would come back in February and it was over, right? Like, they were out of it at that point. It was pretty much an afterthought. And the last couple of years, last year it was, but I wasn't necessarily on the road. But, you know, the bubble season and now, like, it's been a little bit different because they've been, you know, they were relevant that year 2 years ago. And then last year was just kind of, you know, complete mess. But it feels like I've gone back to that, right? That just from a coverage standpoint, that I'm about to take off and I'm going to do some football stuff and I'll still be watching every single game while I'm away. But by the time I get back, it's going to be a whole different deal in terms of relevance or new coach or new, like, who knows what it's going to look like, but it can't keep looking like this.
No. And I honestly was looking at the 5-on-5 numbers. I kind of thought they'd have a good trip. I thought they'd have a dead cap bounce. And I was trying to make the point that even though, you know, I see some trend lines happening, like obviously mea culpa on the Pettersson is about to break out call. Maybe I'll be right. Maybe I'll be right against Columbus, but I'm not holding my breath. I thought that one maybe it was his worst performance of the year, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah, it was up there.
You know, I think I underestimated in looking through those numbers and seeing some positive trend lines, just how flat this team is in terms of their heartbeat right now. Like, they're flatlined. There's nothing there. It feels like there's nothing there. I mean, what else is there to say? Like, what else is there to say? This team doesn't have a heartbeat right now.
Yeah, you know, when listening to a bit of the intermission coverage on 650 on the right shoulder, and even they were carving the team, which tells you everything you need to know. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I don't know if you listen to the Canucks Hour, Farhan, but it's an hour of the most salacious hot takes carving the team every day.
Well, that is
Monday
true.
To Friday.
That is true. You've been the exception since you got on that show. But as far as
Helford and Bruff, House of Negativity.
Yeah,
and I mean, whatever. I think 650 is very balanced. I say,
but it's been
while tightening my 650 tie on my 650.
Yeah,
Dolce.
No, I know. But listen. I mean, it's just hard to find anything good to talk about. It's hard, you know, and if you're listening to this, I apologize if we're bringing you down. You know, I used to listen to this show all the time when I'd go for runs and it would bring me up. And I hate the thought that I'm bringing people down based on what we're watching. But I just don't know how to put lipstick on this pig right now. And the sad part is that it just feels, as you say, the Wile E. Coyote analogy is a pretty good one. It all just feels like this is inevitable. And I understand what Jim said last Thursday, you know, as we approach day six since all of that. But we all know that these are fluid situations that can move fast, as much as the Aquilinis haven't necessarily moved fast, given that we've seen 8 years of this. You know, when it happens in the end, there usually is a sprint to the finish. And it is how you lose. It's not just that you lose when it comes to this situation, right? Because they've endured so much for so long, you really have to be able to not see light at the end of the tunnel. When you see A team that's playing grade 5-on-5 and it's just the PK that you need to fix. And, you know, Thomas Drantz says the trend lines on Pettersson are higher. You can view it one way, but all of a sudden, after a game like that, it's just hard to view.
There is no positives. There are no positives. I mean, there's nothing. It's just
not good enough. And it's not close to good enough. And I don't know how you fix it without significant surgery and a revamp of direction. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the holdup is. I really don't understand it. You know, some troubling names leaked out in connection to the role today. Clearly, there must be some level of disagreement over what to do at the ownership level. That's the only possible explanation. But, you know, I mean, it does feel like something needs to give just so people can, like, move forward. Just so that there's not these... Like, just move past this doom and gloom right now. This team is so gloomy. It sucks. Well, it's really bad.
I want to talk about some of that news and some of those names that are all of a sudden in the public sphere first. Though we're going to take a quick break as we collect ourselves and try to find some positivity or at least a different direction in all of this.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So, Drancher, let's start with JT Miller. We touched on it the other day, but the rumors out there that the Minnesota Wild reached out to the Canucks and inquired about his availability in a trade. Now, I spoke to some people on the other side of that story, and I'm told that that absolutely didn't happen. Now, I'm not suggesting for a second that a reliable source didn't offer that to Kuz. This is not a criticism of Ben at all, but my understanding from Minnesota, there is no chance that they reached out to the Canucks on JT Miller.
Yeah, I mean, both sides are denying this as vociferously as you can. And Travis Green called it out as fake on Tuesday as well. So, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, not a huge headline for me if a team did call about one of Vancouver's good players, right? Like, that's not the headline. The headline would be like, team calls about Tucker Pullman, right? Like, that would be the big news.
Well, the headline is, you know, because the implication of that story is the Canucks are listening. Right. And they're open for business. And that was the takeaway, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the sense is that JT Miller's part of the solution. So, yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, all sides are denying it and denying it in the most vociferous and forward and straightforward possible terms. And, you know, there's also Brock Besser trade rumors out there. Besser's agent commented to it to Dhaliwal. I have a piece up at The Athletic talking to him about it, why he's not sweating the latest round of trades rumors and speculation, in which Besser says, basically, like, I think I'm a core guy. I don't think I'm going to get traded, but, you know, it is old. Like, I am sick of this happening every couple of months, as he should be. I can't remember a player of his stature being so frequently traded by like, you know, media and Twitter and social media in my time following this team. So, you know, kind of just is what it is at this point for Besser on that contract. This is a contract year for him. It doesn't help that he's had a slow start, but I thought he had some interesting comments on it. I also thought his effort was pretty apparent tonight, even while the team was just not going at all.
Yeah, look, it's pretty clear watching some of these guys that, you know, like, let me ask you a question. I'm not suggesting JT Miller wants to get traded or that Brock Besser wants to get traded, but, you know, on some levels, everybody wants a reset. Everybody wants an escape from this situation.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
The only people that don't want to get traded are you and I. Well, no, and listen, we're not suggesting that a bunch of Canucks want to get traded, so let's not go.
No, on, but no, but it's miserable, and you know, instead of looking, it's not in the shape of every guy pulling on the rope; it's in the shape of every guy standing in a circle, pointing their finger at the other. You know what I mean? Like that's what this team looks like
or
right now.
Or just their heads pointed down,
or just downtrodden, and you know, no one wants to be in that situation. That is completely miserable. So, you know, all of that said, I do think that. I do think part of it is the pins and needles of anticipation. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to focus on the way up the roller coaster, right? Like, that's just kind of where we're at.
Yeah, look, there's truth to that because I do think you go through the ebbs and flows of this. And I think now a lot of the players probably are waiting, right? Like, you go through a point where you grind and you try to fight your way out of it. But again, this isn't the first year of this movie. Right, we've seen this now for two straight years. Yeah, COVID was part of last year, but understand that they struggled long before COVID hit them a year ago. Right, and we know why they struggled because of what ownership did or didn't do. That doesn't change the fact that they lost a hell of a lot, and it sucked.
Yeah, and now they've won three of the last 14 games.
So here they are again, and you know, like
this is a historically bad start.
Yeah, so this is where the team is right now, and now you've got to sit there and say, okay, well. It can't keep going this way. Whereas a year ago, you went through it. Then all of a sudden, it kind of started coming out of a shell. And then COVID hit. And then now that excused everything to a point, right? Whereas here, there's just no excuses. But it is married to what happened a year ago because it's still losing. And there comes a point in every franchise where it becomes cultural, where it becomes systemic. And, you know, something violent needs to be used to shake the group out of it. And so I do think that as players, they're probably at that point that we've done everything we can do. And now let's see what else happens here. Not that, you know, not that they're advocating or, you know, or doing any of that, but clearly their play, they've gone as far as they can go. Travis has gone as far as he can go with trying to reach this team as I see it. And you know me, I'm like, I don't hate him. I don't think he's a bad coach. And I hate the thought that he could potentially go because of it. But I just don't know what other card he plays with this group at this point. I mean, even we saw today Pettersson playing on a line with Lamico and Chiasson.
I know.
Like, what cards are left for him to pull as a coach?
No, there's none. There's none. I mean, they had the no-show performance on the road and he had the hard-ass practice in Chicago. They had the no-show on the road in Colorado and he had the no practice in Vegas. You know what I mean? It's like, that means you've played both your cards. You know what I mean? Like, you've done the hard-ass thing. You've done the, all right, guys, you go have fun, but make sure we win tomorrow Saturday.
Could he throw his stick into the stands?
Yeah, I mean, could he go Glenn Gullitson? Sure, but no coach survives for more than another month or two when they go Glenn Gullitson or Mike Yeo. Like, yeah. You know, that is truly the dead man's move. And also you kind of have to pick and choose. Like, you know, at some point too, you've got to be able to explain yourself in your next interview. You know, that's kind of the spot that he gets put in the longer he stays here and has to sort of make minced meat out of this, right? Like, yeah, I mean, look, it just feels inevitable that wholesale changes are coming. I think the organization's pretty clearly made that determination at a high level. I just think there's disagreement over exactly what shape and the timing of it. And so we sort of wait and suffer. And you know, that doesn't feel fair for anyone involved, but that's often how this organization has conducted itself.
When you look at ice time in tonight's game, Elias Pettersson, 12:48, right? The only forwards that were above him, Juho Lamico, Juho Lamico was below him. Alex Chiasson was below him. That might be about it. Where was Tyler Mott in all of this? Tyler Mott was above him. And yeah. You know, certainly, you know, it was only four penalty kills. It wasn't like an epic number where they just were in the box the entire game. What does that tell you?
Ooh, what?
Vasily Podkolzin, 16:23.
Yeah.
Oh, and Jason Dickinson was the low man on the totem pole playing 7:30.
You know, yeah, I know.
Big off-season acquisition.
He had a tough game. I was thinking about, like, the Canucks script, right? Like, what's the Canucks script in terms of the way that these games go, right? And for me, it's like bad read, another bad read, an extended shift spent defending, right? A bad touch, a defender takes a harmless 40-foot shot. You know, some decent cycle play ends up in not a scoring chance. Puck goes back to the defender at the blue line, hops over his stick. They have to regroup, turnover on the forecheck, another bad read. And then Nils Höglander does something that is like pretty good, is useful and productive. And then you just repeat the cycle. And that's what it's like watching the Canucks right now. Like repeat ad infinitum.
Here's a positive. They actually won 62% of their draws. So they had the puck to start play on a number of occasions and couldn't do anything with it. JT wow. Miller was 15-6 in the circle. Even Elias Pettersson, 5-2. Bo Horvat right around 500 at 10-9, you know, which is also part of what we don't see. So it's like, you know, they've got the puck a little bit more. They can't hang on to the puck. They, you know, they're not comfortable. They're careless. They spill it. First period, it was Pittsburgh with 7 giveaways to Vancouver's 0.
Yeah, it's because the Canucks never had the puck. You can't give it away when you don't have it.
But what I'm saying is when you have it in the form of a turnover or in the form of a faceoff win, you can't do anything with it because you're not playing with any level of confidence with the puck whatsoever.
No, I know. It's, I mean, it's just so bad. It's just so bad. It's cataclysmic. It's a smoldering crater. There are no negative superlatives that you can put on this that do it justice, to be honest. It's hopeless. And that's the worst part. It's hopeless. This team is too young. There is too much under 25 talent on this roster for this to feel this hopeless. But it does.
It does feel hopeless. And Travis was asked the question, I think, by you post-game, and he's been asked it before. Or actually, sorry, I asked the question to Jim earlier, but, you know, it was in relation to this type of player, this young group of player that the roster's been turned over to. And yeah, okay, they've always been expected to score because they're just talented guys, but now they're expected to lead. And are they mature enough? And they're clearly not, right? And Travis kind of talked around it for a second and then said, yeah, they're fine, but they're clearly not. I mean, you know, even Jim used words like fragile, right? So the fact that they've got a lead, that's a weight this group can't overcome, and it's showing in what they've always done well. It's taken away from what they've done well because they're not equipped to do more. And leadership, quite often for me, it comes down to accountability, and that's what they're not good at. Meanwhile, the Canucks have yet to play a top five team in the NHL, our good friend Jeff Patterson points out. It's only going to get tougher.
No, and when they've played anyone half decent, you know, they've kind of been exposed. Like, think about those games against Colorado. Because Colorado may not be a top five team in terms of the standings, but they are a top five team, right? And when a team plays like that with their speed, you know, I even think this Pittsburgh team's really good. Like, this Pittsburgh team's really fast. They're really structurally sound. They don't have Malkin. You know, like, they don't have some of their key weapons, but they have Crosby back now. And, you know, Crosby ate a bunch of people's lunch all over the ice. Like, a lot of good players have done that. A lot of older guys have done that to Vancouver's young core right now, game in, game out. You know, they also haven't played the California teams other than Anaheim. And it's like, if they lose those games, it's over. It's done. We haven't seen them against Calgary. Calgary's got a lot of team speed and is structurally sound. Like, that's going to be a really bad matchup for this team, especially right now, especially because every team with speed exposes their inability to move the puck in transition. Yeah, I mean, no, there's no suspense now. Like, I usually like to wait 30 games before declaring what a team is. This has been bad enough that, and they're so far behind the eight ball that it kind of doesn't matter. Like, I know, I've seen enough to know that they're pretty much DOA in terms of having any relevant aspirations of doing more than being in the mushy middle this season in a best case scenario.
Well, so where do they go now? They've got Columbus coming up later this week. They've got Boston and Montreal on Sunday and Monday. It just feels so different than it did a year ago because we knew how bad they were and how much they were struggling at that point. But you almost gave them a mulligan because you knew what ownership did to the roster. So it was so hard to hold these guys accountable from top to bottom, like from Benning all the way down, down to, you know, to the 23rd guy in the roster. But, you know, at the same time, they were also basking in the glow of the bubble the previous year as to who they actually were. So now that's all gone. So, you know,
reality bites, like reality bites, right?
I'm trying to walk my, I'm trying to walk myself through ownership and what they're thinking in this moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they must be disagreeing about something, right? Or they're holding fast to this idea that like we have to take our time and get this right, and we can't make a move until we've solved it. And it's like, why? That does no one a service. No one is served by dragging this out further. You know,
it well, the reality is you probably need somebody else to solve it.
Well, sure, but you don't need somebody else to solve it tomorrow. In fact, you can't solve it tomorrow anyway. There's no magic wand here. You know, if you turn it over to an interim, if you make the change at either GM or coach, right? Or both, right? You can hand it over to an interim guy. Like, there's no way they're going to let this general manager hire a big name coach at this point. Right? I think we all know that. So that's off the table. So if you do green for Shaw, that's pure PR. I don't think Shaw's going to get more out of this team, but you know, you can try it just to like for the appearance of action. Maybe that gives you a little bit of relief, but I kind of doubt it. And then what? You know, and then what? And then you're still dragging it out and waiting for the other shoe to drop while the team continues. Maybe you get a dead cat bounce for a couple weeks, like whatever. I mean, again, there's no suspense about what this season looks like for this team. It's still not good enough. So, you know, or you make the change at the top and let the next, like, launch a search, have an interim manage it for a couple months, go all out in terms of the search, and then figure it out from there. I mean, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but clearly they don't have a clear idea of it. Or they do, and they just want it. Like, they're still hopeful that the results change and they can limp through this season with the guys that they're paying. You know, which I still think is probably the most realistic course that they're trying to chart. And it's just getting more and more untenable day by day.
You think if this type of loss continues to happen, that they will continue with the status quo to get through the year?
No, I think they'd prefer to. I just think at some point their hand will be forced. I think they'd love to give the club this road trip, but you know, I don't think they can afford too many more performances like this. I think the anger in the market is palpable. I think people are so, so fed up.
Well, I mean, imagine coming home with that performance to the next crowd and what that would sound like. And we've been waiting for it to get ugly, and it hasn't gotten ugly yet. You know, there's certainly been rumblings, and Jim acknowledged them last Thursday that, yeah, it's upsetting to him. You know, I'm sure it's weighing on him. I'm sure it's weighing on his family. I'm sure it's doing the same to Travis Green. I mean, these guys are human, and it can't be easy, but there will come a breaking point, and, you know, there'll probably be some relief when that breaking point comes, along with the disappointment that follows it. But let's think micro for a moment, and like, how do they recover to at least put in a better performance against Columbus? And then Boston's going to be a bad matchup for them, given the structure of that team. They might get something out of Montreal because of how bad they've been, but look ahead of the opponents.
It's a back-to-back. Yep.
No question.
Well, and the lesson of Columbus, and I want to talk about this really quickly because I'm heading to Columbus tomorrow. I'm having Thanksgiving with Aaron Portsline. And the lesson of Columbus is this, right? Like, for so long, this team has been afraid of making the moves that would result in them taking a strategic step back for brighter days in the future, right? Everything has been shortcut, expedite our path to contention, right? Everything. And the Columbus Blue Jackets just dynamited a team that sucked a year ago, right? And they're actually better. They're better immediately because there's fresh energy and fresh legs and there's some exciting young bodies and they made some smart gambles and, you know, Jake Bean is crushing it and Sillinger looks like he's could be a meaningful prospect. And they've got Kent Johnson, the Wizard of Port Moody, just destroying the NCAA. And, you know, Bockvist's been in and out. Like, I don't think he's been stellar, but that's an interesting lottery ticket. That could hit. That could be an asset of value down the line to them, whether on the trade market or for their own team. They've locked up all their guys. Elvis Merzlikins already has a contract. They obviously have to navigate what to do next with Patrick Laine. It's pretty clear that they'll chop Korpisalo, you know, potentially Domi on the trade market. But it's like, look at what they've done in terms of positioning themselves for the future. And they're like 10-6. And they're exciting. And it'd be fun to support that team if you're a fan. And it'd be fun to cover that team if you're a journalist. Because they've got a plan. They've got a plan. That's all this team needs. Like, at the end of the day, being a good team in the NHL means doing the obvious repeatedly. And this team's done what's not obvious repeatedly.
Repeatedly.
And with a certain layer, like certain air of arrogance that like they know the right way to do it. Right? As opposed to just doing what is so clear to everyone else. And I mean, all they've done is aimed a Gatling gun at their foot. Death by a thousand cuts. Bleeding value in every move. And that gets you to a point where you're, you know, multiple years into a rebuild. In fact, the clock is ticking on some of your young core. They're clearly fed up with this culture and being part of this. And you don't have long enough to like restock in the way you need to make your team good enough for them to want to buy in at the type of like discount rate that allows you to be really, really competitive. Because you didn't do the hard work over the last 5 years while your team sucked anyway. Fuck, Farhan.
Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap this up because I do want to get into the issue of the young players and where they stand in all of this, both short-term and long-term. Quick break, and we'll be back with that and wrap it up.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So, Drancher, you talked about that, and that is just the young players being clearly fed up. Do you think there's any level of I'm part of the problem in all of this? Or are they just too young to think like that?
I'm sure there is. I think they all know that they haven't played well enough. Like, players know. Players aren't silly. You know what I mean? Like, they know when they're scuffling, right?
But they also think that, why is it all on me? Right? Like, there is some of that, is there not?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, like, here's Brock Besser to me today. It's been a tough stretch for me personally and obviously for the team. And I set high expectations for myself to go out there and produce and help the team win. Lately, it's been tough. I just have to make sure I'm competing hard and get out of this funk. I mean, what more do you want? Now, Besser's 24. He's older than Pettersson and Quinn. And I think this is an important point. Besser's dealt with like real shit, right? In terms of his father's health, in terms of his life experience. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's got a different level of maturity, a different perspective on life than most 24-year-olds do as a result of that, right? And I think that matters in shaping how he sees the world, how he processes things, how he deals with the media even. But, you know, I mean, what more can you ask for than a quote like that from a guy who's, you know, battled injury, been extraordinarily unfortunate at 5-on-5, and, you know, is still on pace for 20 goals, right? Like, I mean, what else do you want? You know, I don't think they're necessarily pointing the finger. I just don't know that they have the answers, you know, and it comes back to what Bo Horvat said. Like, I wish I had answers for you guys. Like, I don't have them. I'm not two top four right-handed defensemen.
Yeah. No question.
I'm not.
And I'm not a right-handed center that can play on the fourth line and do all of that. I mean, he's even having to kill penalties from time to time, which has never been his strong suit. But given the fact that they need somebody on that side to win some draws in those moments. Yeah, I mean.
I'm not Tanev. I'm not Toffoli. I'm not Jared McCann. I'm not Jonathan Dolan. I'm not one of the million bets that have been made that haven't paid off over the years that have put us in this fucking mess. Like,
so where do they go? Where do they go now? Like, if you're, like you had said, from a player standpoint, if the other shoe drops, does the pressure just get taken off and now you can play freely because it's happened?
I mean, that's the theory.
Regardless of whether you wanted it to happen or not, it's just happened.
That's the theory. I don't know if that's exactly right, but it does feel like, I mean, and maybe I'm projecting. Maybe it's because that's what it feels like to me. I wake up every day and I'm like, okay, am I, you know, when am I going to be situated to cover this in case anything goes down? Check in with my sources. Anything coming today? Like, what should I be aware of? You know what I mean? Like, it's, that's how it works.
Does a so trade maybe I'm projecting. Make any
maybe
kind
that's
of
how I'm experiencing it. Like,
we understand
it,
that culture
not,
GM
certainly
makes a big
looks
difference.
Like
does a trade make
up,
any kind of a difference?
Right? It certainly. And also, when things start going badly, like bad shit snowballs. And, you know, that's why it's hard to get back on track sometimes once this starts happening. Like, once everyone's collar gets tight, it becomes harder to motivate for a coach because every game could be your last and every decision. Like, how do you want to go out? How do you want to be treating people on your last presser? Like, you know, that becomes top of mind. And same thing for the GM. Like, he can't, you know, I can't make the moves. I don't have the autonomy to fix this. And oh my goodness. And, you know, and it just snowballs. It impacts everything. And I do think that's probably what the team's dealing with. I don't know that precisely. I certainly feel like that watching and covering them. But it makes sense. It makes sense to me. And I've been through the last days of various regimes, and that's sort of how it goes down.
Yeah, it's difficult to watch because it just feels so predictable at this point. But, you know, when you look at it from a player standpoint, I mean, it's so weird to kind of wrap my head around because they say the right things. JT Miller himself has been really, really candid about his play and the fact that he thinks he needs to give more. But you get out on the ice, it's the same thing. It's the same habit. It's the same trap. It's the same starts. Like, it feels like Groundhog Day every time you watch this team play. But I, like I said, I wonder if a trade, like if a player got moved, is that enough change? Is that enough? I mean, obviously it would depend on who, but, you know, would the players feel, okay, they're making an effort to fix this. They got us a right-handed defenseman, or they got us a right-handed fourth line center, or whatever it happens to be. Is a trade enough, or does it have to be significantly bigger?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's big trades. Like, you can make a big trade, but I just, you have to be careful making those right now. Right? Like, I think you have to assess where you're at. And I don't know that you want a management team that hasn't exactly seemed to have the support of ownership, at least publicly. You know, it's not like last time where there was the Twitter thread, you know what I mean? That clarified the situation, right? Like,
well, there's a time like that, but that was another thing. I'm not saying it helped in that moment, although it did for a couple of games.
No, but at least it gave clarity. Like, oh, we're standing
but that's
by.
What I'm saying.
We're going.
Is it time for ownership? Jim talked last Thursday, okay, and since then it was a tight win against Winnipeg and a couple of losses. Is it time for ownership to say something? Or is Jim's statement last Thursday enough?
No, of course.
I mean, if ownership comes out and says, Travis isn't going anywhere, Jim's not going anywhere, we're not making that decision, everybody suck it up and figure it out.
I mean, it can't hurt. You can't do worse than where you're at right now.
Because Jim certainly didn't offer a ringing endorsement of Travis.
Nope.
Jim himself, when asked about his own future, said, you know, I can't control that.
Right.
So is it time for ownership? Because if you want us to stop asking questions for like a week or two, ownership needs to say something.
Yeah, they do. For sure. No,
right?
Because
until then, and I don't know that we're the problem, right? Because I've said for a long time now, the volume of media in this market is significantly different and less than it was 5 years ago, right? From six guys covering the team at the two papers, it's amalgamated to one, you know, like, or two people covering the team, never both on the same day. And, you know, it, like, how many people are on the road? It's the rights holder and you.
I know. No,
like
I know.
The volume of people covering this, it's significantly less. So while we're on this podcast saying what we need to say, there's not that much noise. And the locker room is not open.
No, I know. And I mean, and it was a very interesting, day for me, like post game, right? Like that was a very interesting availability to run through as the only reporter really there to do the grilling, right? Like that was a really odd experience. But again, it needed to be done. Like hard questions need to be asked right now and simple ones. Like this isn't complicated. This isn't describe how you saw your goal, Bo. You know, like no one cares. Doesn't matter. It was a great goal. It was a great goal. It's too bad it doesn't matter. It's too bad it didn't matter. It's too bad so many of Bo's great goals haven't mattered, right? But it didn't. And,
you know, that requires a certain approach, and I'm sure it's not appreciated, right? Like, I'm sure it sucks. I'm sure I'm not going to get the best answers from guys the next time I see them all, but it has to be done. And that's just what covering this team right now requires. And it's clearly rubbing, you know, people are clearly annoyed by it, right? Like, Besser's sick of the trade rumors. JT Miller's unaware of anything that happens on the internet. Travis Green has increasingly called out the media, right? To JPAT, right before they left on this trip, right? Like, if that's the story you want to tell with it, go ahead. Like, you know, it sucks when the rumors are fake. That was Tuesday. And then today, was it in response to your question or Ian McIntyre's question?
It was, yeah, to mine.
Yeah, like there was another sort of, so, you know, it's getting to people, no question. And it's getting to people even though there aren't a lot of people around. So, you know, again, this season and the cumulative collective failure of it has clearly worn thin with members of the organization. And I don't think that's surprising. I don't think that's unfair.
Well, as we wrap this thing up, I'm glad you were there because, like you said, those questions needed to be asked, and they needed to be asked in person in many cases in order to get the best potential response. But I think the coach himself is out of answers, and, you know, it felt like a difficult show to do because we just kind of, for us, it was just one theme right now. There's just no point in breaking it down like we've done previously. It's just this group sucks and what happens now, and there's only so many ways you can kind of weave through that narrative, but that's what we're going to do. The Canucks play again on Friday. And again, they've got games Sunday, Monday. So we'll probably be back at this on Tuesday. And who knows what it's going to look like at that point, my friend. But I know you're going to be out there asking the questions. And I'll be definitely doing the same once this team gets back home.
Well, it's going to be really interesting. And look, they have some chances to set this right, right? Like, they have four games here. And, you know, as much as it's easy post game for us to be like, oh boy, at some point, like, it is just, you know, whatever happens, whether there are changes at the top or not, whether there are changes behind the bench or not, Columbus that should be a winnable game. Boston, that's a hard game, but it's not an unwinnable game. You know, like, they've got Demko, he's playing well. Pittsburgh could have scored 7 without Demko playing well tonight, right? Like, There's enough here that they should be able to get it right on occasion. And if these performances continue on this road trip, I mean, you know, honestly, it's really hard to fathom how this market could react to that, just because it's hard to fathom that, you know, we're here, that's where we've gotten to at this point with a roster that has this much talent on it, even though it is so poorly built.
That's healthy, minus Travis Hamonic.
And healthy, yeah. No, I know.
But nonetheless, an inauspicious start to this road trip. We'll see what it looks like over the next three games. Meanwhile, in other pods on The Athletic, Ian Mendez and Down Goes Brown have the Thursday edition of The Athletic Hockey Show right here on The Athletic Podcast Network. Meanwhile, thanks for subscribing to our VanCast. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to leave a rating and a review. You can also subscribe to The Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get all the bonus content from our entire network. Start with a 30-day free trial and then just 99 cents a month after that. And happening now until midnight on the 29th, you can get The Athletic's best deal of the year. It's $1 a month for 12 months when you visit theathletic.com/vancast. So go ahead and get the sports coverage you know you deserve, because it doesn't get any better than this. And to our American friends, a happy Thanksgiving. Again, the VanCast will return early next week, likely on Tuesday.